As he was in his 20s, he surrendered, gave his life to Jesus, and he said, "This is what I want to do." Back in the early times with American Indians, when they were unsettled, he said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take the gospel to these Indians who haven't heard." So what he did, he set out. Went out there, put a camp right next to one of the Indian tribes, and he said, "Tomorrow I'm going in and I'm going to share the good news of Jesus with the Indians." Little did he know, though, that what was watching him, the Indians had already seen him. And so what they decided to do, they were going to sneak in their fashion. They were going to sneak in that night and that evening, and they were going to take his life out because he was a white man and he was intruding into their territory. They gathered together, the quietness of the night, they slept up, they saw him, and they saw him praying. And while he was praying, they watched him as they got closer and closer, and they saw a rattlesnake right next to him rise up, making his rattles, sticking out his tongues, and it was look as though he was about to strike, but for some unknown reason, that rattlesnake went back down and slivered off. The Indians said that the Spirit of God was in that man, and so they did not kill him. In fact, they listened to him. What would make a guy do that? What would make a guy want to live the comforts of home? What would make a guy who went through his education, what would make a guy like that want to say, "Hey, look, I want to leave it all, and I want to give it all to Jesus"? I think it's kind of like a guy called Kathy, Mr. Kathy, Truett Kathy. In fact, if I were, I'm going to test your knowledge here just for a moment. What is one of the best eating places you can go to that's not open on Sunday? Wow. Bojangles is open on Sunday. But Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. Can you imagine that? What would possess Truett Cathy from not opening on Sunday? He's a Christian. And for 43 years, he's not opened a single Sunday. What possessed that? I tell you what, I wish all of our businesses could do that. And the reason why he said there was two reasons why that they didn't open. He said number one, it says there must be something special about the Chick-fil-A people who view their spiritual life. And he said number two, there must be something special about Chick-fil-A feels about people. And so that's the two reasons. One, Chick-fil-A honors something special about the spiritual life of those. And two, caring about people. In fact, in their policy, closed on Sunday policy, it's these words: to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. I like that, folks. I like it when your policy for the running of your business is that of glorifying God. What would possess such a guy to do that? Maybe he learned some of the lessons that the Lord Jesus taught us. As we learn lessons in the desert, and as we've been traveling through this, and one of the concepts that we're looking at is basically our theme, that we live by the Word in total obedience to the one deserving our undivided worship and service. Living by the Word, being authentic Christians. Well, why would somebody do this, living by the Word? I think we ought to connect. Did y'all ever play the game Connect the Dots? That's a good game, isn't it? Yeah, I like it, man. Because when you connect a lot and you get to you close up that block and you get to put your initial in there, man, yeah, that's a good game. But don't do it during church. That's a good game. But you maybe I'm telling off. Okay, anyhow, connecting the dots. There's something about life and connecting with the dots. And as we begin to look at why David Brainerd would go off to the American Indians, if we would look why Truett Cathy would close his business on Sunday, if we would look why Hobby Lobby would close their business on Sunday, if we looked at some of the reasons that drove these guys to do that, we might discover a few of the dots that they connected. I think the first dot that they connected was that God brought light into a world of darkness. In fact, the Scripture says in John 1:1, it said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. And all things were made by Him. There was not anything made that was made." You see, God brought light into a dark world. And then as God brought light into this dark world, God created a man. And He created a man in His own image. And in fact, in Genesis 1:26, He said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing." So God created man in His own image. He brought light. He created man. But then He brought in some love. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He brought this great love into the world. And so therefore, as God brought this love, then God teaches us that He created us. He not only sent love and expressed it in Jesus Christ, but God created a place called heaven for those who love Him. As found in John 14, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to Myself, that there I am, there and there you will be also." God brought light into the world. He brought love into the world. He created man. He made a place called heaven. But then for those who rejected Him, He also made a place that He called hell for those who would reject the love. In Matthew 25:40, He said, "Then He said, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So in connecting the dots, He brought love, but He also brought heaven. And then He also put hell in there. And then He said, "Look, if you want to go to heaven, I've got some requirements for you." In John 3:3, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again." So the requirement to go to heaven is the new birth found in Jesus Christ. And so if I'm going to have the new birth, then how does that come about? God called for repentance to be a sign of the new birth. In Acts 3:19, He said, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent, He said. And then He says, after you've repented, God calls for obedience. Obedience, what is that? In Matthew 7:21, He said, "Not everyone saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father." So what has happened here? God created a place called heaven. God created a place called hell. God gave the requirement, you must be born again. And then He told us how to be born again. He said, repent of your sins and receive the forgiveness from Him. And then after we do that, we follow Him in obedience. God brings the dots together when He said God commanded the whole love package. God commands the whole love package when He said, in the Scripture, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29, He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And the second commandment's like unto the first. He said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." When you bring all these pieces together, connecting the dots, God's grace and God's mercy reaches down into a world of darkness and He brings hope and light. In Titus 3:5, He said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Okay, now that's the dots connected. All right, now let's go back now, focusing in on Matthew chapter 4 as we conclude this series this morning. In Matthew chapter 4, boy, I gave a test Wednesday night. Woo! I don't want to give y'all the results of that test. Y'all remember what the results of that test was? Franco, I'm glad we graded on the curve Wednesday night. Because we had to reach back and all of a sudden what we found was that I need to start all over again. No. Well, do y'all remember what the lessons in the deserts are? Help me out here. What's the first lesson in the desert? What's that? Live by the Word, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's the second lesson? Live in obedience. In other words, he says, don't get smart with God. He's teaching us to live in obedience right there. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. What's the third lesson? Live in worship. And he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And then the fourth lesson, concluding, is live in service. And Him only shalt thou serve. So when we begin to look down at that, I'm going to pose you with seven questions in rapid fashion as we're going to look at seven choices that you're going to make today, and these choices are going to go pretty fast. Because y'all have already read the Scripture in its entirety, and after He concluded with this, where did Satan go? Hit the road, Jack. Okay? And then we didn't want him back. No more. So we found out that's what happened with him. But we built on, we connected the dots. Then we live by the Word, we live in obedience, we live in worship, and then we live to serve. That's what would drive a guy named David Brainerd out to the Indians. That's what would drive a guy named Truett, Kathy, to close his business and make that a part of his. That's what would drive a guy named William Carey to go to China. That's what would drive a guy named Eric and a woman named Susan Wolf to take their children over to Cameroon. That's what would drive them out of their comfort zone. But now let's look at this. Let's ask seven questions. The topic, what we're focusing in on, is service to the Lord. We sang our hymns of service, and so therefore seven choices. Choice number one is going to be a heart choice. A heart choice. The Creator set the requirements. And so the background behind Deuteronomy, if you want to follow with me, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And beginning with verse 12, and so therefore, why do you pick up the Bible? Because number one, you need to pick up the Bible. And number two, you need to read out of the Bible. Because number three, sometimes I change the words in the Bible on purpose to see if you're awake. Boy, I catch them then. And then if I don't, I'll make Leslie stand up. Just because you're asleep, I'm going to make Leslie stand up. So Leslie, if I make you stand up this morning, it's because somebody went to sleep. Now, do you want anybody to go to sleep? No, okay. All right, so everybody's got to stay awake because Leslie doesn't want to stand up. Okay, as we're looking at, we got seven questions that we're going to deal with and seven choices that they're going to make. And the first choice is going to be a heart choice because this is what the Creator set aside. Now, the background behind this, if you remember, there were two tablets up on Mount Sinai given to Moses. We call this the Ten Commandments. Do you remember what Moses did with the first Ten Commandments? He did what? He broke them, threw them down and broke them. He went back up. God said, here, do it again. And he wrote those, and he got the Ten Commandments. He brought them down, and then he began to read them to the people. In the course of this period of time, Moses' brother Aaron is now dead. The tribe of Levi is now set apart in Israel. And then the tribe of Levi, as they were set apart, they went to the people of Israel and said, okay, guys, what does the Lord require? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I commanded thee this day, for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. So what is he saying right here? What does the Lord require? Let's give a real quick test. What does the Lord require? Tell me. Fear the Lord, walk in all of His ways. Love Him. Serve Him. Keep the commandments. And keep the what? The statues. Okay, now who's asking you to do this? It is the one who owns the heaven of heavens, who owns the heavens where the bird flies, who owns the earth and all that in them is. So, the choices that you will make, first of all, has got to come from the heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second choice, after you've made a heart choice, the second choice that you will begin to pick up on is found in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. When Joshua is getting down toward the end of his life, children of Israel had gone into Canaan, conquered the lands. Papa Joshua's old now, about to die. And his last talk now to the children of Israel, he's saying, what? Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil, you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers who served on the other side of the flood, Noah's day, or the gods of the Amorites, what happened before we crossed the Jordan and conquered Canaan, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you notice here, the first choice that a person's got to make is a heart choice, but the second choice that an individual makes is a family choice. And that's where Joshua was the spokesman of the family. He said, look, this is the way it's going to be. If you think it's evil to serve God, then you go your way. But as for me and my house, we're going to do what? We are going to serve the Lord. So as the second question comes into focus, what does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to serve Him. The third picture that we look in is not only a heart choice, but what else? It's going to be, number three, it's going to be a God choice. A God choice. The family commitment leads to deliverance. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 3, background, Israel turned from serving God. Background, Israel been a slave to the Philistines for 20 years. Background, great repentance was now ripping through the land. Background, God said, okay guys, this is what I'm going to do. I will deliver you if you turn me night before the battle. Background, Philistines are there, ready to come in and conquer. And this is what God did. God sent thunder. And the thunder was so big that it discomfited, and the Philistines started fighting among themselves, and they were conquered because God sent the thunder. But what's the background? The background tells us this. You'll return to the Lord with all your heart. Put away the strange gods. Put away Asherah from among you. Prepare your heart and serve the Lord only. You will be victorious. Noticing this, it is a God choice. Authentic Christianity is a God choice. It's a heart choice. It's a God choice. Number four, it's a moral choice. In other words, deliverance follows the choice of the good and the right way. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 through 25, we find an interesting picture that's happening right here. And I'm giving you just a lot of pictures this morning. But the picture behind you in Samuel today is where the children of Israel had been led by God up to this point. But all of a sudden now, the children of Israel said, look, we want to be like everybody else. Give us a king. Samuel the prophet said, no, wait a minute, follow God. No, they said, give us a king to lead us into battle. God told Samuel, said, look, they haven't rejected you, but they have rejected me. And so Israel rejecting for God's rule, they wanted to have man's rule. So what God said, I said, I'm going to point out to you that the decision that you've made, this moral choice that you've made, is a bad one. Do you see what's about to happen? He said, look out there. Do you see all the grain? It's time for harvest. Watch it. Bam. He prays. God sends the storm. Destroys the crops. And the people begin to say, oh, we messed up. And all of a sudden, Samuel comes along and says to them, repent, for God still loves you. National repentance. In 1 Samuel 16, 12, 20, chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, it says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, for ye have done all this wickedness. Turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord your God with all your heart. And turn not aside For then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. They are vain. So he's telling us very plainly, serve him. And then in verse 24 he says, but I will teach. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in increasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good way and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. What is he telling us? He's telling us, if we want freedom, there is a moral choice. And deliverance follows the choice of doing what's good and doing what is right. He said, but I will teach you to do what is right. So a moral choice comes down to something that's very deliberate. The next thing is we have a deliberate choice. In Psalm 2, verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. If we're going to do the right way, if we're going to do the good thing, which leads to the gladness, and it leads to gladness and it leads to fear of God, what do we got to do? We've got to make a deliberate choice. A deliberate choice is like Psalm 100 in verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord. Are y'all willing to do that? Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing? Amen? Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Leslie, you can still be seated, but almost. Serve the Lord. You know, come before His presence with singing. Boy, wouldn't that be neat? if I were to just say, Landon, come up here, buddy. Okay? Now you pay attention, won't you? No, Landon. Do you remember that last verse that I had? It said, do what? It said, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with... That's close, but with singing. Okay? Singing. Okay, let's mean you sing a song, okay? Mm-hmm. Or would you like for me to get somebody else to sing a song with us? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. You want to sing a song with us? Sure. Okay. Well, what song are we going to sing? Yeah, y'all remember song? What song? What's a good song? Mm-hmm. We're practicing for heaven. Mm-hmm. What's that one? Hey, can you remember that one? Y'all ready to do it? Yeah. Oh, let's do it. Yeah. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Thank you. All right. Yeah. You know what? They made a deliberate choice this morning, with a little encouragement. They made a deliberate choice this morning to go the right way, leads to gladness, leads to the fear of God, but we want to enter His presence with singing. And that leads us to the point of Christ's choice. Christ's choice. So if we're going to choose Christ, if we're going to fear God with gladness of heart, it comes from choosing Christ. And Paul says it very plainly. He says, servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service or with men pleaser, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that the Lord... ye shall receive the great reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Okay? For ye serve the Lord. You're going to have a great inheritance when ye serve the Lord Christ. It's a deliberate choice. It is a Christ choice to fear God. And that leads us to the last one, and that is, it's your choice. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, it says there's two ways. He says there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And then Jesus says, I am the way. So now let's bring all of these things as we conclude this morning down to a quick choice. What are some of the choices that you'll make today? First choice is that you'll make a heart choice. From your heart, because the Creator has certain requirements. And then out of your heart, you'll make it as a family. You'll make a choice that we will, excuse me, we will serve God. It will be a family commitment. that as together we serve the Lord. And then coming out of that family commitment, there's a God choice. The God choice says we will commit ourselves to God and He'll lead us to deliverance. Coming now from this deliverance, we recognize that the choice we'd made was in reality a moral choice because we chose to go the good way and the right way. Choosing the good way and the right way means choosing Christ's way. And so now in choosing Christ's way, it's your choice. Which way will you choose? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is calling upon us to make such decisions as that. Well, what led Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, to make a decision for his business? He felt a conviction. He made a decision. What is leading you today to make the decision that you need to make? Because you see, decisions come from many different places. But when you connect the dots, you'll find that when it's all said and done, it's going to create a picture of the Lord Christ. And we're going to love Him, and we are going to serve Him, for He is worthy. Let's pray. Father, today we praise You. And help us, Lord, to make the right choices. Help us to choose You, Lord, to serve You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, I pray as these two young men have sung together, Lord, we sang, "Go tell it on the mountains." Father, I pray a blessing on their lives as they will seek to tell the name of Jesus Christ out upon to whom they come into contact. Father, they made a choice. Father, we have made a choice today to serve You, Lord. We know that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way." Father, I pray that for those who have not made that choice to follow You this day and feel the authentic Christianity and walk and serve You, I pray, God, that the lessons out of the wilderness will lead them to that point of decision. They will say, "We choose Christ. We choose the narrow way. We follow Jesus." Father, only Your Holy Spirit can break it through. Only Your Holy Spirit can make it real. But God, You can do that. And You can do that this morning. In our weakness, Lord, it's Your strength. In Your strength, O Lord, there's deliverance. In Your deliverance, there's love. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. As people give their lives to Jesus, the prayer altars are open. What is God? What choice do you need to make today for Jesus? Let's sing.